So in 1988 was a big year for me. I wrote Whitney Houston's Where Do Broken Hearts Go, which was a number one song around the world. My then wife, Linda Eder, had won Star Search. She's one of the great singers in the world, and I was very inspired by her. And I also met Leslie Bricus, you know, who of course wrote all the James Bond themes and Willy Wonka and Dr. Dolittle and so many great things. And he kind of took me under his guidance and taught me so much, and we wrote Jekyll and Hyde. And then, of course, Jekyll and Hyde's had this amazing life of recordings and shows and then eventually to Broadway. But before Jekyll and Hyde got to Broadway, I got a call one day from Julie Andrews. And the truth of the matter is I didn't believe it was Julie Andrews. I thought it was a friend of mine who does an impersonation of Julie Andrews. So I hung up on her because I was writing. And then she called back.
Oh, baby, won't you play me the jazz hot? Maybe, and don't ever let it end.
Long story short, that journey was Victor Victoria, because she was bringing the movie Victor Victoria to Broadway. And Leslie Bricus, my guy, and Henry Mancini both won the Academy Award for that score. But Henry took ill, and he wasn't going to be able to finish the score. And I can't believe it to this day, they picked me to finish the score. So my first experience ever in professional theater was writing for Julie Andrews.
And what did Julie Andrews say to you? What was the phone call?
The phone call was I've listened to the concept recording of Jekyll and Hyde, mm-hmm. and I just heard Linda Eder's first CD that you just did on Atlantic Records, It's Time, and I think you're the guy, you should do this. And
can you do your accent?
No. Not only can I not do her accent, particularly this morning, this cold that I have, where I can't even hear myself talk.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice. She's 10 feet tall.
We got a couple of sneak peeks into Wonderland, and it's having its Irish debut, which is going to be great in Derry, and then to Belfast, and then to Dublin. So it's not Alice in Wonderland as we know it, and it's not Through the Looking Glass as we know it. So can you give us a little insight as to what people might see when they go?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about doing this project was we took these iconic characters, everybody knows the characters, and then we gave them a little twist, mm-hmm. you know, and try to make it a little more modern and a little more relevant. And I have two sons, and we used to live in a high-rise in New York City, and there was an elevator there, and the elevator was always broken constantly. And I used to tell my kids, well, that's the elevator that goes to Wonderland, because I didn't have anything else to say. And that's what kind of started, you know, this project.
Very happy birthday to me.
To who?
To me.
Oh, you.
A very happy birthday to you.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, me.
It's all congratulations with another cup of tea. A very merry birthday to who?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of the story, but things haven't been well in Wonderland because Alice hasn't been there in a long time.
Oh,
so
right.
Alice has to come back.
Are the same characters there, but slightly more weather-beaten?
Yeah, I would say yes. Yeah, there's trouble. Uh-huh. But Alice has a daughter, and it's a mother-daughter story. Alice has grown up and lives in the real world, mm-hmm. and she would love to be a writer, a successful writer like J.K. Rowling, but the real world gets in the way,
yeah.
you know, of your imagination and stuff, and sometimes you lose your own child.
Yeah.
And I think this show is very much about finding your child. And in this particular journey, Alice has to go find her real child, and in so doing, finds her child in herself as well.
Wow, that sounds so exciting.
Well, I think it's a great family show. It's a mother-daughter show. It's been that way in America. It's having a beautiful life in Asia right now, which I could mm-hmm. never believe that the Japanese and Koreans know the Wonderland characters, and
yeah.
they do. And it's great. But listen, the show belongs here, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I just hope people will be open-hearted about it and take it in.
I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late.
And what is it like taking, say, all the best well-known characters and sort of deconstructing them and making them out to be slightly different? Is that difficult to try to keep their essence, or have you moved some of the characters on completely?
What's the neat challenge is once you go to Wonderland,
yeah,
and you meet all those characters, you have an enormous amount of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a lot of influences, you know, from the Beatles, you know, to theater music, to jazz, to soul, and all of that is going to come through in the musical vocabulary of the show. You got to hear some of it last night.
It was wonderful.
Right.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I know that we're talking about Wonderland, and I think everybody would be interested in finding out just where do broken hearts go?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
No, and it's funny because when I wrote that, like the next Christmas, Whitney Houston sent me a Christmas card, and
yeah,
the card was a picture saying, "Where did broken hearts go?" I have no idea.
Oh, you see, you know? That could be Wonderland, Alice in Wonderland 2 is coming out. Where do they go?
Maybe. Not a bad idea. I love, you know, I've never been to Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, I hear it's so beautiful, and I can't wait to go.
It's beautiful, but our sort of trade-in is that it's so luscious and green because it rains all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait. In fact, when they started showing me the tour, and I saw we were going to go to Ireland, I told my wife, "Well, we have to go." So hopefully we'll see you in one of the cities.
Well,
there.
Fingers crossed. I shall be there with bells on.